The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. Will you please be seated? Good morning. A couple of things before we get going. One maybe is more an announcement than anything else, but it seems more important and I want to share it with you. George Reeves, longtime member of this parish, died this week. His wife, Kate, was with us at 8 o'clock. She asked that I let everyone know, but we have not yet released a statement online because we don't have all the details of funeral arrangements, but we will by late Monday, and we'll share that info with you. But it's obviously a very difficult time for Kate and her family, and I would ask that you keep them in your prayers. Secondly, I was told just as we were getting started, that we have a number of guests with us this morning who have left the Santa Barbara area to come and be with us as they seek refuge from the fire. And so I wonder if any of the guests who are with us would be willing to identify yourself just so we can know that you're with us. Well, there are some. Wow, there are quite a few. I know there are a number of congregations there, and I don't know which one you're with, but I certainly know Amy Delavette and Gary Hall, and there are some really good clergy up in that area, and it's a privilege to have you with us this morning. I wonder if we might, again, before having started the sermon technically, but I wonder if we might pray for those who are in danger from the fire. Let us pray. Most Holy God, we commend to your care those who are in the path of the Thomas Fire and of all the fires currently burning in California, for those who are losing their homes, for those who are fighting the fire and losing their lives. In the midst of this destruction and this terror, we ask you to send your Holy Spirit, your strength, your comforter, to care for them and protect them, receive them into your presence, but also that you stir our hearts with hospitality and generosity to see in the people who are struggling
our neighbors and our friends. Stir us to generous action to care for those that we love who are dear to us. In the name of Jesus, who is strong to save. Amen. Well, if you were here last night for the Clare College concert, you know what a beautiful event it is, and it was, and hope will be again. You also know that our exterior lighting in this place is not as good as it could be. It's a little dark in that parking lot. In fact, we have some really dark spots, some places that are kind of scary to be in. The further up the hill you go, the darker it gets, because we don't have as many poles up there, so we can't put as much lighting. And around the office building itself, it can be really scary. Now, during the summer, we hardly even notice this. But in these darker months, when the sun goes down much earlier, it becomes a big deal if you're working late. I was working not too late. I was working a little past 6, maybe close to 7. Walked outside and it was dark, and we have some electric trouble in that building, and the exterior lights weren't working at all. Now, you might think that it's pretty bright in this valley, but I want to tell you, you get behind our office building at night with no lights on, and what you can see is nothing. And I mean absolutely nothing. I have walked that path so many times now out the back door of the office back to my car that I more or less know where the sidewalk is. I know where to try, but I also fail. I'm not a very good judge of distance, and so I'm out there in the dark fumbling around. And to be honest with you, a little scared, because I'm a big guy. I'm 6'5". I don't even want to tell you how much I weigh, but it's a lot. So I know that anyone in their right mind who's out there who might want to get me would probably be afraid, but that's only if they don't know me. And then they'd say, oh, just take his wallet and push him, you know. It'll be easy. But I get scared out there. I get scared, and I know the place, and I'm still scared. And I think sometimes it's actually the fact that I know the sidewalk, that I think I know the path, that gets me in trouble. If I truly could get my head around the idea that I know nothing, then it might occur to me earlier to get out my phone and my flashlight and to see where I'm going, but instead I go out thinking, I can do this, I know, I've walked this 100 times, and then I fall off the sidewalk and land on a cactus, and it's just really not good. Darkness is an overwhelming thing. We're not used to real darkness ourselves, because in a modern world, any place we're likely to be has some artificial light somewhere, and so we can orient ourselves to it. It's really rare for us that we are truly, truly in darkness. I've told you before many times that I like to get away and go camping, and I like to go out to parks. One of my favorites, of course, Joshua Tree. But even in Joshua Tree, even and maybe especially if you go on a moonless night so that you can see the stars, if you turn west and look toward Los Angeles, the sky is not just orange, it's bright orange. And the lights of the city are bouncing off the smog of the city and landing in Joshua Tree National Park. And so there's really not darkness there. So to really get away, my favorite is to go to Death Valley National Park, because LA lights don't hit up there. And it is truly dark, and it is truly beautiful. And I find it a place of real rest and of relaxation, a place I can really clear my soul to be there, because when it is dark on a moonless night there, and there are no insects, or at least so few, that you don't hear like chirping in the background or anything at night. What you hear is dead silence. You can start to hear the beating of your own heart out there, because it is so, so quiet and so dark. And the darkness, to me, is beautiful. It opens up the sky. So if you go at a time like this past week, the Geminid meteor shower peaked on the 12th and 13th. So a couple years ago, I had gone out there because the phase of the moon was such that there was no moon. So went out, and while you guys were back here enjoying lessons and carols, I was waiting up for the meteors to start, because I'm a geek. And what I like to do is find this particular spot. I marked it with my GPS by light of day, but it's a spot that's special because there's a long stretch of Highway 190 that's absolutely straight and long. And the reason that matters is if you can find the middle of it, then you can safely know that for miles in both directions, if a car were coming, you would know it. You'd have plenty of warning because the headlights, you can see them from miles away. So you're safe being in the middle of the road, which is where I like to lie down on my back and watch the stars. What I haven't told you, I know I've told you that one before, but what I have not told you is about what else happened while I was out there. I decided that I just wanted to walk a little bit into the desert itself, and so I did. And I was careful, you know, you can't see anything, so I'm very gingerly taking each step and feeling out in front of me before I commit. And got out there and watched the stars from the sand, and turned around and looked at it at different directions. And turned enough that I finally realized I had a problem, which is I forgot where my car was. And even though it was only a few feet away, I didn't know in which direction it was. And I had to wait there with my thumb in my ear, not literally, looking up at the stars and enjoying that, and wait for a car to drive by so that I could orient myself to the road and find my way back. It was a little bit scary. And the silence all of a sudden, instead of feeling beautiful, felt frightening. And I tell you, as much as I could have used some help in that moment, one of the things that would have scared the bejesus out of me would have been if I had heard the voice of a human being suddenly speak to me out of that darkness. A voice in the darkness can be a wonderful thing, a way of orienting, and it can be a terrifying thing. I'll tell you, if I went out to my car at 7 o'clock at night in the darkness and heard a voice next to me, I'd jump out of my skin. And in the desert, when you're out in Death Valley, the stillness is great, but when it's time to come home, you drive until you see the lights. And we see that light coming in the wilderness. You head for it, because that's where home is. And even then, it's a little frightening until you get out of the car and hear the first voice. Because the voice then is reassuring. And it reminds you that you're not alone. And it reminds you that you're getting closer to home. This gospel that we read this morning is from John. You may know that this is the year of Mark's gospel. We're in year B now. So we'll be reading a lot from Mark's gospel. But you may also know that Mark's gospel is very short. And so you can't fill the entire year with Mark gospel readings, and there is a lot of John interspersed with Mark this year. Last week, we heard a more familiar description of John the Baptist. Last week, we heard about that man we all know, the one with the camel hair coat and the eating locusts and the crazy man in the desert, all that stuff. We heard about him preaching confession, repentance, in preparation. This week, we get a voice not just in the wilderness, but in darkness. It's hard for us as contemporary Christians to place ourselves in that situation because 2,000 years later, as we've heard the whole story end to end, we've been through year after year of the Christian story, we know where this is going. We know about Jesus. We know about what he's going to teach. We know about what's going to happen when he comes down off the Mount of Transfiguration and heads to Jerusalem and to the cross and to the resurrection. We know all of that now. It's hard for us to place ourselves, just as it's hard for us to find a truly dark place, even in this desert. It's hard for us to place ourselves in the darkness of this story, but it can be done if we're paying attention. First of all, did you notice that Jesus isn't in this gospel this morning? There are references to the one who's to come, but we know nothing about him, and we know nothing about this John the Baptist. If you want to know the details of John the Baptist, you're going to have to go to Luke's gospel or to Matthew's gospel, and then you'll hear stories. But this is just a guy. He's kind of disembodied. And more than anything else, if you reread that gospel, if you look in your white bulletin, you'll see the text of it there. And you see that we know more about what he doesn't know and what he doesn't claim to be than anything about who he actually is. He is pleading ignorance. He is not the Messiah. He is not the prophet. He is the voice in the wilderness. And he is not the light. He's the voice. It's a terrifying voice. If we hear it the way that it would have been heard then, the reason he was in front of these authorities is because they were scared to death of what he was saying. They were scared of hearing that voice in the darkness. And we would be too if we didn't know what else was coming later. He says he's the voice in the wilderness that's foretold in the book of Isaiah. And we know that that Redeemer, that Deliverer, that Messiah is going to call for release of captives, setting prisoners free, healing the sick, setting things right, justice. But none of that has happened yet. And he doesn't even know yet who the Messiah is. If you look back at the text of that gospel, it says, I baptize with water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. He could have gone further and said, and neither do I. He doesn't even yet know who Jesus is. He just knows that someone is coming. He's standing in the darkness of an occupied place, a foreign power ruling over people who are being oppressed, saying, your deliverer is coming. And in our contemporary culture, you know, who knows what that darkness is? I could speculate. You probably know your own darkness. I've certainly known darkness, and I know you have too. And that darkness is sometimes wonderful and sometimes absolutely terrifying. If you're familiar with St. John of the Cross and the dark night of the soul, you know that that voice, if we recognize it, can be blissful. To know that that voice crying out in darkness is crying for our soul to be united with God. But it can also be terrifying until we know that. Today is the third Sunday of Advent. It's sometimes called Gaudete Sunday. It's it's a Rose Sunday. It's Rejoice Sunday. That's why our second reading from 1 Thessalonians tells us to rejoice. We rejoice at that light. We rejoice in the middle of darkness when we look out and see that the sun is just beginning to peak, that there is something happening in the east. And so as the morning stars sing God's praises, we join the heavenly beings and all creation as they shout with joy. This season of Advent speaks to the darkness that we don't want to talk about. The darkness in our own souls, our fears, our doubts, our emptiness. And the prophet cries out and says, prepare. Prepare, because the light is coming. Bishop Will Willimon, a Methodist bishop, writes about that darkness and that voice this way. He says, I expect that many of you have read Viktor Frankl's classic account of his experiences in a Nazi death camp, Man's Search for Meaning. Frankl was taken to a camp. He had been a successful therapist, and while in the camp, he spent his time observing himself and his fellow inmates. In fact, his curiosity, his inner determination to learn and to grow, even in this horrible setting, were major factors in his survival. Frankl noted that some of the prisoners just wasted away and died rather quickly, even though they had no discernible physical ailments. He recalls a man one day was doing reasonably well, considering the deplorable conditions of the camp. And the man often talked of his dream to get out of the camp and to be reunited with his dear wife. And then the man received word that his wife had died in another prison camp. And in just a couple of days, that man died. Frankl concluded that the man died not because of some bodily ailment, not because he lacked food or water, but because he lacked hope. He lacked hope that there was anything to be had beyond the darkness of the bleak prison camp, that there was anything beyond the present anguish of the Nazis and their brutality. We can live, says Frankl, longer without bread than we can live without hope. There is some light that shines in that darkness. And those of you, probably all of you, who know darkness, have good reason to hope. I wish that I could tell you exactly how it's going to work out. I wish I could tell you exactly what that hopeful story is going to mean for you. And I can't, any more than John the Baptist could answer in his time. He only knows that the light is dawning. And we know that too. We gather on this Sunday as those who yearn, who desire, who are yet unfulfilled, but who are confident that the light breaks into the darkness. And we shall see, and we shall know, and we shall be filled. Amen.